And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 854. Going to recap your week 9 fab and much, much more as we just keep moving through the season. There's like continuing just prospects getting called up, got some good pitchers to look at. Not as much on the closing carousel this week, which was fun, but a lot of money was spent yet again, which is surprising because eventually it has to dry up, folks. We'll get you caught up on the month, the week-to-week numbers, the players most added, most money spent, and more. And to help me do that, as always, it's my co-host on our Monday Fab recaps. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. You can also find him at the top of the main event leaderboard as he is first, a.k.a. the kid, Ben Tidd. How we doing, man?
Doing good, Bubba. I knew it. Once you said it, you can find me, I'm like, he's going to say you can find me at the top of the main event standings. I just knew you were going to say it, so touche for that good intro. But yeah, thanks. It's second week starting at one overall, first overall. So it's a good start to the week. I'll say that.
Yep. You just got to stay here now because you had a nice message in the DM. I won't share all the DM stuff, but hey, someone that was very successful last year mentioned this was the week they took over first place. So just saying that.
So it's not too early, technically, by those standards. So we'll have to wait and see.
There you go. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. But, not going to recap any news, Ben. But anything else on your mind before we just dig straight into Fab as there continues to be just so much going on these days?
There's a lot of the same kinds of players available, but we'll get into them as we go along. Like a lot of outfielders, I'll say.
A lot of outfielders, which is a yearly tradition that we talk about a lot going into the season. When it comes to drafting, yeah, you need 5 of them, but maybe that 5th one should be a streamable spot because there's so many out there. It's not always the smartest move, but it seems like it might be something to look into. With that being said, let's pull up the Fab Tracker by Ryan Bloomfield makes for the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, and it's got the week by week spending. And Ben, it's like we're waiting for the downswing, and there's just like it's still in line with previous seasons, but we also had some massive weeks, and like the overall numbers are ahead now. I guess remaining balance is ahead of previous seasons now, but the week to week, we're sticking in line for the most part. I guess it's still a little aggressive. So, when you look at the week to week spending, what do we have from this past week?
Yeah, the pedal was kept on the metal in both the main event and the OC this past week. To your point, we're about $16 ahead on average per team in spend in the main event, and then the OC is more like $28 ahead of the remaining budget for last year. But yeah, to your point, the week 9 numbers were about the same, 62 in the main event this year. Last year was $59 per team. OCs were 52 this week and then 50 last year. So pretty close. It seems like week 8 was last week was the week where it was a big difference. It was kind of a lull compared to the previous weeks, like 7 and 6, but week 8 this year for both contests was a little more spending done in those 2 weeks. And yeah, we've kind of plateaued in like the 50s on average, which if history shows us, and you and I are looking at the remaining weeks that haven't occurred yet in 2026, but looking at 2025, we should expect a decent decline in the spending going for week 10, which is going to be this upcoming Sunday. So I don't know, unless there's another call up that's big, I don't know who that would be or something. It'll be one more big week tonight of relatively big spending. And then I think we'll see a little bit calmer waters next week.
Yeah, we keep saying that it feels like it's supposed to start slowing down, and it just hasn't done it, but it has to at some point in time. Then again, I saw the Gills spent like $290 on AJ Ewing in a main event, and I'm glad that he was saying too, at least said like, how do you still have money? And he Gills goes, well, it was the one league I had money left in. So go to show that. Yeah, it's going to start slowing down sooner or later. And to kick us off, let's start AJ Ewing. He was the most added player in your online championships. Recap for everybody. We talk about 12-team online championships, 15-team main events, talk about the most added in the OCs, compare them with main events, so on and so forth. Then we'll switch over later to the main events to talk about some players that you'll probably be adding in 12-team leagues next week if things continue to go well. So AJ Ewing, 238 online championships, as high as 345, as low as 15, which is great to see. At least it was a low of 15, not one. Average of 132 for AJ Ewing. So lots of money spent on AJ Ewing. Average of 132. Even the 75th percentile is 168. So there was a couple outliers, but a lot of cash spent there. Main events, all 60 leagues, Ben, of course, because he was available in all 60. As high as 358, as low as 88, average of 197. So, as some would like to say, the 15-teamers are quite excited for A.J. Ewing. A.J. Ewing, great first week in the bigs, I would say. Really good profile. 294 average, one homer, two steals. It was a discussion you and Ryan kept going back and forth on, and we'll see if we're right or wrong. It's tricky. At least we can say we saved money. We'll get to that in a minute. But what are your thoughts on A.J. Ewing?
Yeah, he was definitely at the top of my fab list. I mentioned a lot of outfielders, and he was leading the way. A lot of outfielders who had speed in their profiles was also the other common trait amongst them all. And Ewing was kind of leading the way with the 70 steal season he had last year in the minors across three levels. It was actually he started out in single A, went to high A, and then went to double A. So he moved up pretty quickly last year. And then this year he was barely in triple A before he got the call. So Ewing is just rising up the levels. And he had a good week. His first taste in the majors went pretty well. He had those two steals in the home run. I got to watch him a little bit because they played the Yankees, and he looked fine. He's young, 21. So there could be some growing pains because of how inexperienced he still is relative to everyone else in the majors right now. But, yeah, like I said, you see the 70 steals, and then also with that, he hit above 300 in a short time this year in the minors, and then also last year he hit across the three levels I mentioned before. Ewing had a 315 average. So steals and average is tough to find together in the waiver wire. The only thing, though, he has probably not a lot of power. He did hit the one home run, like I said, this current week that just ended, but all of last year in 2025, he only had three homers across the three levels. And then he had two this year in the minors in 30 games. Maybe that amounts like a 10 homer pace. I think it does. And he had 10 in 2024 in 90 games, Ewing, but just seeing the 10 and three, it's kind of a two-sided profile, because I don't know if he's going to hit top of the lineup. I know some are calling for him that second because of the Sheds doing so poorly. I think there'd be a lot of pressure for Ewing right away, but the steals and the average should be there, I think. I'm not sure how the K rate doesn't look horrible either, and I don't think he really struck out that much this week. Let me look. He had 5 Ks in 24 plate appearances, so it's about a 20% rate, which isn't terrible. So maybe Ewing could hit for good average as well. And I didn't have him, like I said, I had him at the top of my list, but not really nearly at the levels that he averaged in the main event. I was a little bit below that. I was probably between the average and the 25th percentile, and where I had enough money to try to take a stab at Ewing, I just didn't go high enough, and I couldn't really go at 200 plus.
And that's where I was. Like I wanted him. I got a share of AJ Ewing, not much though. It was just I've preferred to save some money, as I'm frugal. You're not frugal. You're smart, but you save money as well. So we went for the next option we will talk about here shortly. AJ Ewing can be good. And I love what the Guilds described him as on Twitter, as a kind of a Nico Horner type, which I mean, it's a really good batting average, a little bit of pop, tons of speed. And that's kind of what he showcased in the minors. So it makes sense. Now, the translation first year in the bigs, we'll see. So far, so good through 1 week, as you were mentioning. But we'll see how that continues on. But if he keeps hitting towards, like, he's not even hitting towards the top of the order yet, which is crazy because Carson Bench has been playing so well. But if he moves up there consistently, the run production continue, a Soto crushing baseballs the way he is, yeah, it could be a very, very strong spot. And Lou Bob feels like he's nowhere to be found. So, like, there's legit no timeline for his return. The Mets came out on Monday and gave a timeline of Francisco Lindor, hopefully within the next 3 to 4 weeks, and would not give a timeline still for Lou Bob or Polanco. So, A.J. Ewing feels at least safe-ish for a month or so, as long as something doesn't go completely crazy. The next most added player in the online championships that we were kind of hinting at here is Henry Bolte of the Sacramento Athletics, picked up in 235 online championships, as high as 226, as low as $3, average of $73, so nearly a $60 cheaper average than AJ Ewing, which is a big difference as you add up stuff, especially if you talk main event prices now. He went as high as 292, as low as 38 in all 60 main events, Ben, with an average of 113, so that was $84 on average cheaper than AJ Ewing. $84 goes a long ways come September or even August. Now, if Ewing's great, that's great. Bolte, I will say that, I'll screw it up one too many times. Hit safely in three of his first four games for a 385 average. One stolen base, no home runs, but was just destroying the ball at AAA before he got and AA before he got recalled or promoted. So what's your thoughts here, Ben? Because I know this was the guy that you, myself, got more shares of than the other prospect.
Correct. I think I ended up having Bolte ahead of Ewing even in my bid list. But what I did was I would have him for the same bid amount, but I would just have Bolte on top. And I think I was the runner-up in both cases with the Ewing, but I did win Bolte in the two leagues where I was pretty competitive bidding on him. And I made that – so I flipped opposite of consensus, like you just went over with the average pricing, because a couple of reasons. So with Ewing, I didn't mention this, and you didn't either, but I think it's tied to the Luis Robert Jr. injury, which doesn't sound good right now. I'll give you that. But there's a chance that I don't know who else they really have in the outfield. It's kind of really just tied to Lubob being out, and he's not progressing as well as he should in his – I think he has a herniated disc injury right now. So that's concerning for him just to return in general. But I feel like if he's healthy, Lubop, he's going to play. And then they have Soto in the outfield. They have Bench, who's actually playing really well now too. So there's your three outfielders. They don't want to DH Soto. I guess they could maybe DH Luis Robert Jr. if he gets back and they want to give him a little half rest, which I could see, and that would allow Ewing to play. But with Bolte, I was telling you, we were talking about this before we started recording, is that it was funny because when the Jacob Wilson injury happened, they announced they're calling up Bolte, and I go, oh, this guy must be a middle infielder. Nope, he's a center fielder. And then there was no like reason for him to get called up besides the fact, like you said, he was just crushing triple A. He had 12 homers, 17 steals in 37 games, 340 average. Granted, it's the PCL, but he's had pretty solid numbers across his minor league career, Bolte. He doesn't have the speed, it looks like, of Ewing, but he definitely has a lot more power, because he was putting up 14, 15 homer seasons. And like I said, he has 12 already so far, Bolte, in the 37 games in the minor leagues this year. I didn't mention this with Ewing because I went away for Bolte, is that Bolte has a much better park, and I would say a better lineup too. And he, like you said, he played three of the first four games, the set Sunday, and now he's already playing tonight, which is a good sign. So all those reasons, I kind of like Bolte a little bit more because a little more well-rounded profile for fantasy. Was probably gonna go cheaper, which he did, and this better situation. I feel like as long as Bolte does well, which is always the chance with these rookies. When people say like as long as he does well, but you're kind of gambling on that when you go to add them anyway. At least Bolte didn't need an injury for him to get called up. He needed Lawrence Butler to be terrible, and he's been terrible like every week of the year so far, and he's sitting tonight versus righty Butler. So that's why Bolte's in the lineup, and so is Cortez, which is another story for another day. But so yeah, I think Bolte was a little bit more appealing. No Yankee bias in this, but I just think price wise I'd much rather have had Bolte than Ewing.
Yep, full agree with you on that one. I was all about that. We talked about it a lot on Sunday via text. Ewing is a Nico Horner, that's great, it's gonna be real sweet. But I think Bolte has that power speed comp. Like, we're talking a guy that can, he was on pace to probably go 30, 45, 50 in the mile. Like, he was just doing crazy stuff. I know it's minor league numbers, so could he go 20, 24 is here? I think so. I think there's a life to that, and that'd be pretty sweet, especially you get that ballpark half the season if he sticks around long enough. There's a lot to like with Henry Bolte, and I'm a big fan of what's to come on that one. All right, the third most added player in NFBC seeds. I was wondering how people would spend their Zebby Matthews dollars this week. He got picked up at 153 online championships, as high as 63, as low as a dollar, average of 21. Zebby was picked up in 44 main events, as high as 79, as low as 19, average of 49. Zebby Matthews was a guy I liked this week, Ben. There's another pitcher I liked more than Zebby Matthews, and maybe this will turn out to be wrong. Zebby Matthews should stick in this rotation because Splitter Woods Richardson, is not very good. Zebby made a spot start last week for Taj Bradley, who's on the IL. 7 shutout innings, 1 walk, 5 Ks for Zebby Matthews. Finally got over that 4-5 inning hump we've always been worried about with Zebby. I like him a lot. I like Matthews a ton. I think he's in the world of starting pitching, I'm all about taking chances on guys like this. He was behind the player I got a lot of shares of, which we'll talk about shortly. But no problems with Zebby. Not sure where you sat there. I'm still, we might have PTSD from what we've seen in recent years from Zevi, which is totally fine. But I got to tell myself he's still one of the younger arms in baseball that at one point had a ton of hype behind him.
Yeah, he's my favorite player to use the Charlie Brown football gif, I think, on, because everyone falls for him every year, it feels like. I did have bids up for Zebby, yeah, and I did have the other pitcher that you're alluding to ahead of Zebby, and I'm surprised how far apart Zebby and Braxton Garrett were in the OCs in the total spend. In the main event, they were much closer together. Must have been, I think it's a product of Garrett being available in more leagues, I'm assuming, or not available in as many leagues. I don't know, though. It's kind of weird to see the big gap between the two. But for 21 in the OCs, it's not a terrible gamble. The main event was a little bit higher at 49. I wasn't quite there with my bids for Zebby. And yeah, he had a good first start, but one of the things that I looked at that made me not as interested as I may have been, just because it's Fab and we're trying to add pitchers left and right, is that his swing strike was only 7% in that one start. It is one start for Matthews, but he's always underperformed. And if the skills aren't even up to the level they are when he does underperform, I wasn't really going to put too much money down to try to get him. So didn't get Zebby anywhere, and I'm okay with it. He could be good because people do like the upside for him, but he's had a decent sample, 100 so innings of pretty bad numbers. So I didn't want to go too crazy trying to get him.
Yep, and that's where I was. Like I had, you know, like low teens bids out there. That did not bring any Zebby Matthews to my roster, unfortunately. All right, the next most added player in online championships. This surprised me a bit, but with the catching injury / downfalls of late, Keiber Ruiz was picked up in 143 online championships, as high as $41, as low as a buck. I was just kind of, like I said, blown away that this took place this week. Average bid of $10 for Keiber. He's picked up at 32 main events, as high as 43, as low as $2. Average of 17. I'm all for it. I'm a big Keiber fan. It was a slow start to the year, but a guy that's really been picking things up of late. Is it a fluke? Is it a streak? We'll see. But let's just say from the start of May, it has been a much different Keiber Ruiz, who's hitting .333 with 3 home runs, a stolen base, and 12 RBIs since the start of May in about 10 games, Ben. That'll play very well as a catcher, too.
Yes, it will. And I think I actually looked to see if he was available in any of my leagues, and he wasn't. Of course, I had 15 teamers, so he was added already. Yeah, he was added last week.
He was available in 32 main events. Like, that's over half of them.
That's actually a call. Yeah, so I just have the
he's got the tougher leagues. Maybe. They're on top of things. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, me. No, but this is good to see because I did have, I think you said this too. Well, you said you like Keiber a lot. He's on my catcher 3 and a handful of DCs.
I have a ton of DCs at Keiber, yes.
Yeah, I've had a plan because I kind of went not – I had the strategy more often this year of 3 catchers in my DCs, but like 3 good catchers, quote-unquote good, and I was banking on the bounce back from Keiber because he had the rough injury or the sickness last year. It was a loss year for him. So to see him kind of getting back to being good is good to see, especially for my sake. But I looked at the the game tracker on FanGraphs. I forget what it's exactly called, the lineup tracker. And they're doing a weird thing in Washington. They're doing 2 on and 2 off between Keiber and Drew Milis. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but I guess it's essentially the same as every other day. So Keiber's essentially like a 50-50 catcher, which is fine the way things are. At least he has a good average profile, and he definitely is a better fit, I feel like, in a 15-team league. But catchers have got – like we lost Rally. Alvarez is hurt. Yiner Diaz is hurt. Goose was sent down. So there's a lot of need a catcher. And if Keiber was available, I may have looked to have added him for Jesus Rodriguez, for example, last week. But, yeah, in a 12, I don't know how long he's going to stick around because it is definitely a hot streak for Ruiz. Yeah. But if you were working with nothing, then it makes sense just to take a stab and see if it sticks.
Yeah, full agree. I think there's a lot of upside is the word I'll use for Keiber Ruiz. And like, it's not too long ago this was the arguments I kept making in the preseason as a catcher 3 or something like that. But he was one of the better hitting catchers in the game. Like I talked about, he's like a poor man's Kirk, or he's compared to Alejandro Kirk for so long. Then he had like a concussion, and then like a bacterial infection, and just had a couple seasons where health was not great And it wasn't all just like he pulled an oblique or something. There's some weird stuff going on there where maybe he's healthy now and he's kind of rounding back into form. Like, I don't think he's going to continue to hit 333, but one of Kyver Ruiz's calling cards was his batting average. And that might be something we can continue to look forward to for the time being. All right, we got a two-step pitcher this week that was widely added in online championships, 143. That is JT Jen. High of 55, low as a dollar, average of 15. Jen was added. He was already gone in main events. That tells you everything you need to know right there. Because he's actually been pitching really well. Ben, we've talked about him, I think, probably recently when he went to a bunch of main events. And then I know Ryan and I have recapped him or previewed him in Fab, at least this last week for sure. But two straight starts. He's got 14 innings, one earned run, 11 Ks, two walks in his last two starts. It's been three earned runs or less in six of seven starts, 9 of 10 outings, I guess is the way I'll say it. He's been very, very effective, and he gets a very friendly two-step this week. So, obviously, not available in your formats, Ben, but what are your thoughts on JT Jen?
He actually was available in one of my main events, but that main is pretty well off in pitching, so I wasn't really looking to add him. But I will say I did play Jin in a DC for the two-star week, like you had mentioned, that was so appealing. I don't think you said who it was. It is at the Angels and then at San Diego, who have both been pretty bad against right-handed pitching. And then let me pull up his underlying numbers because you read off the surface stats on Jin. Last 3 weeks, he's gotten a little fortunate. 10.7% K-minus walk, mainly driven – well, actually, it's probably equally driven by a low K rate. Low K rate and a high walk rate. Swinging strikes, 7.9% in that three-week period for Jin. Not the best, but he has talent, and the ERA estimated aren't the best either. But like I said, a two-step week, two-start week, good matchups. Out of Sacramento, so definitely appealing, and he's been pitching well, like you said. So I buy it, but since we're talking 12 teams mainly here, I think he should probably get dropped after this week, unless he absolutely dominates, which you're hoping for. But I don't think he's somebody you would hold on to in 12s and 15s. You probably do.
Full agree. Yeah, he's probably a one and done unless something goes absolutely crazy here for you. But yeah, he's been one of their more consistent pitchers this season. I'll give him that much. Like, the underlying stuff, he's done this to us in the past, is what I'll say, and you get smacked around a little bit if it's a little gin and juice, and then that's just what happens out there. But right now, you're on the positive side of this one. You're way back at the moment, according to Snoop Dogg. You haven't got all. It's not the next morning. Let's put it that way. You're not hungover, so yeah, enjoy the gin while you can and see where it goes. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's more fun for the story. All right.
I think it is Jin. It's weird. I always want to say again. I think it is Jin, though.
Perfect. So we're good. Next most added player in your NFBC OCs, Austin Martin in 123 online championships, as high as 77, as low as a dollar, average of 11. I'm actually glad to see the OCs kind of going there, which is great. He's picked up in 29 main events, so nearly half the main. Some are already on top of this, of course. As high as 63, as low as $8, average of 34 for Austin Martin, who is we liked his skill set for a long time. He's hitting for average. There's tons of speed. He was sitting versus all the right-handed pitching until recently, like when Matt Wallner went to AAA because he stinks. And now we got Austin Martin hitting .313 with a homer and seven steals. And he's hitting usually like they've been – well, with Byron Buxton out, let me clarify that, Austin Martin has moved to the top of the order. Before Buxton was hurt, he was more like fifth in the order, which is still totally fine. What are your thoughts on Austin Martin? I liked him a lot. If I didn't get a Ewing or a Bolte, Martin was one of the other top outfielders I was really interested in.
Almost exactly the same thing for me, Bubba. I was expecting to maybe not get Bolte and Ewing, and then I was kind of hoping I would get Martin in absence of those two other names. But because I got Bolte in a couple spots, I didn't get Austin Martin, ultimately it depends on how they end up doing. Both of them, Bolte and Martin, once now that we've added them everywhere. But the speed and the average is awesome to see from him. I don't know if there would be if Buxton comes back, I don't know if there's necessarily a way that he would lose playing time because his platoon partner is probably – well, they have Larnach in there right now. He's been hurt, so that has helped a little bit, I'm sure. But looking at the bench for the Twins, there's no one there that should take at-bats from him. It's left-handed. Even yeah, there's no hurt position players. So I think it's his job for now, unless they call somebody up, which I also, Matt Wallner getting sent down helps out a lot too, because he was playing every day versus righties. That allows Martin to play and do his thing. And yeah, the like I said with the Ewing, steals and average are hard to find together in a player off of the waiver wire. So that's why I was very interested in having bids in for Martin. Well, now that I don't have him, hopefully he doesn't do well, but I think there's a good chance he will do well. And he was a solid consolation prize for anyone who missed out on Ewing and Bolte, I think.
Full agree. I think he was a great consolation prize. And in the end, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, he finishes with more at-bats and actually maybe produces a bit more either for the way things go with prospects these days. So definitely full agreement on that one. Next most added player in the online championships, Ezekiel Duran, picked up in 116 OCs, as high as 56, as low as a dollar, average of 15, long gone in the main event. As we talked about him recently, he's got the multi-position eligibility, playing a bunch of second base and shortstop, and had Corey Seager hits off the IL on Monday. So Ezekiel, he's been playing shortstop while Seager's been out. I'm imagining he'll continue to play there. Hitting 270, three homers and four steals. He's been very, very good. He's basically doing what Josh Smith used to do, and now Duran's doing it. And in a 15, it's very, very, very valuable. In a 12, it will be if he stays hot. I would just say, before Ben gives his thoughts, if you're in a 12 and you're counting on Ezekiel Duran week in and week out, don't get comfortable, is all I'm going to say, because his profile is way more 15 for me.
Yeah, I fully agree. I was looking at his weekly breakdown, and it's always, of course, here we are again talking about a guy we talked about already in the 15s, and Duran had
to do that exercise every week, just so you guys.
Yep. Know. We should have like a disclaimer that you play at the start of the show every time. We repeat it so often. Yeah. 24 bats in week 8 for Duran. He had a homer, no steals, 208 average. So the average came down from the 300 he was putting up the prior 2 weeks. I pulled up his Statcast as well. And the only thing that's really good for him in terms of like the hitting skills is the average exit velocity. It's 91.1 miles per hour, 78th percentile for Ezekiel Duran. And then the bat speed's above average. I don't really care. It's more about what the barrel's hard hit looks like for me. Sprint speed's there too, so he could, in theory, have more than four steals like he has so far. But yeah, you nailed it. He's definitely more of a 15-team profile. And if so, he kind of had the one bad week already of the 2.8 average. Maybe not all these teams are adding him who had Corey Seager, I'm sure, but maybe there's some chances there. I'm not sure how the shortstop pool is right now, because I haven't really been looking for shortstops in Fab for my teams, but I would just be ready to drop him once. Like, if he has another week and a half of hitting 200 or less than 250, I don't think he has enough juice to justify being held in the OCs.
Yep, full agree. Should not be really held in an OC if there's any sort of slump showing up, because not gonna make anything worth fantasy relevance for you in that format. All right, this next one is just more back from the IL, and people want to take a chance on a catcher too, and maybe didn't get Kyber Ruiz, or you valued Logan O'Hoppe. He was picked up in 113 online championships, as high as $64, as low as a buck. O'Hoppe went for an average of 11 in the OCs. He was picked up in 15 main events, as high as 38, as low as 15, average of 29. If you need a catcher too, I was all for it. I actually picked up a share of Logan O'Hoppe this week. Where I needed a catcher too, it's been a bad season. He's hitting 195, one home run, been banged up quite a bit. He missed a month or 3 weeks. He came back a little early from his injury. He got one hit over the weekend. The bright side for me is his strikeout rate's lower than usual. Like, so at least the plate discipline's there. I'm just hoping the power can come back, because that's what we love O'Hoppe for. He's like a 20 to 25 home run guy. We need that to show up, or this might be a short-term thing, and I'm looking for another catcher too.
Yeah, I think I saw him added or dropped, excuse me, one of my 15s where I may need catching help. And then I'll give him all week to decide what I want to do with that team. But I remember just thinking about how people were – I kept hearing people saying, oh, yeah, O'Hoppe's coming back this week. O'Hoppe's coming back. You can have him replace whoever you lost. Like I mentioned, up all those catches earlier. And I just never been – I haven't been an O'Hoppe guy in a couple of years. And you mentioned it was because of the strikeouts. And sure enough, he's cut – last year he had a 30.8% K rate, and now O'Hoppe has a 23.5 this year, but of course that's come with three fewer miles per hour on his average exit velocity, which it's kind of like what happened with Anthony Volpe. He cut down on the strikeouts, but he lost his power. Hopefully, it's also a small sample for Ohapi. He only has 64 batted balls so far. So, and come back from injury is tough too, but his XBA is 184. So even with the reduced K rate, he's not earning a good average. So I get being desperate for catcher too with the injuries, but I get it more in like a main event. I probably would prefer, I guess it depends what you need. Cause, Keibert Ruiz versus Ohapi is more of like an average versus a power debate, but at least both of them should play a lot, which is a, well, actually, like I said, you would think Ruiz would play a lot, but now, like I said, he's like alternating two on, two off. But I think Ohapi should play every day for the Angels, which is appealing. Who's their backup? Oh, they have Sebastian Riviero, and
it's not good. Like, yeah, it's Ohapi's played... job. There was a stretch last year where he played like the first like 40 or earlier this year. He felt like he played like the first like 30 games and never sat. It says they have nobody.
And that's why he got hurt. He's played four since he came back, all four in a row. So the playing time is there. Just got to make sure your team can withstand that bad average, because it's going to be bad. That's like the biggest issue with him, I think.
Yeah, it's really like if he could just hit like 210 to 220 and then hit 25 homers, I'm cool. Like, I can live with that as a catcher too. You understand that with Austin Wells. That's baseball. But do I want more than that? Yes, but I'll take that right now is where I'm at this point in time. And
too soon on Wells, Bubba. Too soon.
You know what's weird is I know he hasn't been good. I'm not crazy. But I'm seeing all these like memes of him and Volpe both getting DFA'd, eating their chicken parms at AAA together. Like, is Wells actually in the DFA conversation?
I don't know. They have
AAA conversation, I guess.
I saw a meme. Well, they have Escar, who's not a full time catcher.
That's what I thought.
Well, the thing is, like, they have Rice, but I don't want him to play. I don't want him to catch. I don't want him to like mess with his hitting or risk getting hurt or have to take off days. There's actually a meme of Austin Wells like holding his bat backwards or something that has already been out there because of how horrible. He has 5 RBIs. I've been watching all the games, but then I was watching the Mets game there, and they showed his stats, and I go, wait, he has 5 RBIs? He plays all the time. So, yeah, Wells tangent, but I did see him dropped, actually, in one of my 15s, which is probably deserving, honestly. But he's been real bad. I grouped him and Ohapi the same in draft season. Like, they're low average power, should play decently, and they've both been horrible. Let's go figure, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a rough go, no doubt about that. And, yeah, that's... 2026 in a nutshell. All right, let's talk about the next most added player in 12s. This is people a little late to the party, but better late than never, as some say. And that's Brian Rocchio, picked up in 97 online championships, as high as 62, as low as a dollar, average of 16. Welcome to the party. He was picked up in 2 main events wherever he was left, as high as 73, as low as 37. So those are your 2 bids if you're keeping track at home. Brian Rocchio has been awesome. I've been talking him up for a long time now. It's been glorious what he's putting up at the plate. 285, 4 homers, 8 steals. Had another monster week. He's really good. And I can't remember who it was, either in the Discord or on Twitter, commented on my Rocchio thing and said this year's Geraldo Perdomo. And I think that's very close to being accurate, potentially. And let's not forget when Ryan and myself had Bob D, Big Robbie DiPietro, on a preseason Patreon show, that Rocchio stood out in the pull the fly ball thing, similar to what Perdomo did the year before. So long ways to go, but for a 2-month span, Brian Rocchio has been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, kudos to you, Bubba, for adding him several weeks ago, it feels like, at this point now.
Yep.
Yeah, the pulled air is definitely above average on Savant. It was 20.7 last year, and it's 16.8 so far this year. It's a little bit lower, but still above average. It's a light red, I think, on his page. Definitely the best trait he has, Rocchio, is his XBA. It's 267, so the 285 seems relatively legit. I don't know how many more homers we're going to get because his barrel rate's only 3%, which is 12th percentile. He has 4 barrels and 4 homers, but if he keeps pulling those fly balls, he might be able to cheat that ratio that you and Ryan always talk about. So, yeah, so he's someone – he could be like a Paredes type, beats the projections almost type deal. And I think he's already 2 steals, but he's just 2 steals behind his career high in steals, which is 10. He has 8, and he's halfway to his career high in homers, which was 8 as well. So he's got 4 homers, 8 steals, career high of 8 Homer's 10 steals. And I think there's a good chance he gets there, Rocchio. And shortstop, who did we mention who was shortstop earlier? It was Duran. Duran, yeah. I think who would you rather have long term? I know you're biased a little bit with Rocchio, but yeah. Rocchio versus Duran.
I'd have Rocchio for sure.
Yeah. Bubba said that with a smile.
Yeah, it's not even like a bias thing. It's pretty not even close to me, to be totally honest.
No, I agree. Yeah. Rocchio has been the starter and he will be the starter.
Yeah, like Duran could lose his job when guys come back and a slump takes place. Like that's how close that is.
Yeah, I think you think Rocchio has the legs for OC.
Yeah, I've been playing him in OCs. Oh yeah. Okay. At worst, he's a middle infielder. Like he's just his consistent production. Like it's not just the four homers and the eight steals. He's like driving in runs. He's scoring. Like he's filling the stat sheet. So it's a week to week thing. So I'm all for it. And he still hits ninth. Like if they just move him up in the order, God forbid, this could be a really beautiful thing.
You could replace Kwan. I don't know who already has, but he's a 366 on base percentage, Rocchio. So that's definitely leadoff worthy.
I would be a big fan of that if he were to replace Kwan. That would not break my heart either. So yeah, no, we're on the same page when it comes to this whole Rocchio thing. I'm a big, big fan of what's taking place there. All right, G-Rod, Grayson Rodriguez picked up in 97 online championships, as high as 61, as low as a dollar, average of 17. G-Rod was also picked up in four main events, average of 53, or average of 43, high of 53, low of 37. We saw, this is the good part, though, he was also dropped in two main events, and he was dropped in one OC. So people saw, like, they took the early chance, didn't like what they saw, got rid of him. A bunch of other people got him. What they saw on Sunday, Ben, 3 2/3 innings, 7 earned runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. Two things. I'm going to say Sunday because that means he still wasn't probably available in every league. So we'll have the same conversation potentially next week. At the same time, I did read from a beat reporter that, yeah, the line looks really bad, but his defense was like it should have been 2 to 3 runs at most, not 7 is what took place there. Still, you know, whatever, it happened. But apparently he still looks pretty good. So what's your thoughts on Grayson Rodriguez? As you know, we talked about Zebby Matthews already. We still haven't got to Braxton Garrett yet. He is next to talk about. So Grayson was technically after JT Jin because of his two-step. Grayson was the second pitcher people were taking chances on this week.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He had as many walks as strikeouts. So the defense won't help with the walks. Granted, it was the Dodgers, so pretty horrible landing spot first start of the season for G-Rod. So he's someone who I'd taken relatively early, I think, coming off of 2023. I think it was 2024. I took him as like a, I guess in the Kyle Bradish was up, but like the 70-80 range as an SP2 or 3. And he kind of burned us that year. He got hurt, but you can't really blame the injury for that. But in his two seasons so far, about 120 innings apiece, 2023, 2024, Grayson's whip is 1.34 and 1.24. So split the difference is like 1.28 for his career. And his ERA is probably north of 4. And he hasn't really been even that big of a strikeout pitcher. He had roughly a K per inning in those two seasons. A little bit higher rate in 2024. It was, what was the K percentage? It was, I probably scrolled by it. His K percentage was 25 and 26 those 2 years. So pretty solid. A little high walk rate, but did he have Tommy John? Was that the injury that he came back from?
Yeah, one of the many. He spent like almost 2 years out of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so now he missed all of last year, missed the first half of this year. First month and a half of this year. And then whatever he missed in 2024 when he got hurt. So it's been a while, and the command is always what comes back last from Tommy John. So I don't know how useful he'll be. He's on a bad team. I don't think Grayson's going to get wins. He never really had the highest K upside. He had solid K numbers, but nothing spectacular that should make him being a very attractive pitcher to bid on. So I don't know if I even bid on him. I didn't even check to see if Grayson was available. I wanted nothing to do with him. So I could be wrong. He could turn it around, but I have very little confidence that he does.
I had very low bids in on Grayson Rodriguez. Adam in the chat says Grayson was rarely drafted in 12s, was more of a 15-team in-draft player. So yeah, that's why he's going to be another highly added player next week, unless he just completely implodes, which very possible if we talk about it that way. But yeah, I had like a couple dollars on him. Didn't really get too aggressive on him. Didn't even get a share of Grayson Rodriguez when I look at my pad here. So yeah, I'm with you. Like I'm optimistic because the weird part was like when he was healthy a couple years back, he was actually still pretty good, pretty serviceable. Like I would take all of that. His minor league rehab was good, which is great. Single A, another conversation there. But yeah, it's like we got to wait and see all these injuries. The Angels are desperate for innings, though. So as long as he's not completely imploding, come on. They like to let Jack Kiwanowicz go out there every fifth day. Walbert Urena's pitching too this week. Like we got guys out there that Grayson can help, you know, fill the innings is where we're going with that one. So yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. All right, let's get to Braxton Garrett. Picked up in 96 online championships, as high as $50, as low as a dollar. Average of 15. He was picked up in 45 mains. High of 78, low of 18. Average of 44, Ben. This is one that it was between him and Bolte as my two most added guys. And Garrett, it was a horrific debut. Inning in the third, 5 earned, 5 walks, 3 strikeouts, just brutal stuff. He was outstanding this season in AAA while getting ready to be recalled. He was very, very good. Got the call when Robbie Snelling obviously won the IL. I'm just looking at it as a hiccup. The job should be his unless he really continues to screw up. I was two-step this week and got the Braves first, but then the Mets later. That's nice. I think the skills are very good with Garrett. Yeah, he's coming off of TJ, so command can be an issue. But I was willing to take the shot on a pitcher like this. And if he does hit his peak, like it's a very high peak.
Yeah, I agree, Bubba. I got Garrett on two teams. Actually, was kind of aggressive in getting him. He's been a favorite of mine in the past. One thing that he does really well that isn't as good for Grayson is that he doesn't really walk many people when he's good, Garrett. So I also was kind of writing off the first start back. Like I said, with Grayson, the command takes a little time to get back. I don't expect a 33.75 walk per nine to hold for Braxton Garrett. That's what he's at right now. But doesn't have he has, I guess, even less K upside than Grayson does, and I heavily downplayed Grayson, but at least Garrett's had a couple really good years of mid threes ERAs, whips below 1.2 in both those years when his ERA was like around 3.5. So just a better history of being a better pitcher is why I was more into drafting Garrett. And honestly, a better team. I think the Marlins are better than the Angels. Not that I really cared about it too much going into Fab, but just looking back on it, a better situation, I think. And, Garrett has had, like I said, he's had the better success than Grayson. So that's kind of why I didn't have to look into it. Like I saw the name. I knew how good he's been in the past. Didn't even care about the first start. I think I sat him and started him in one league. And well, I got him in two spots. I think I started once, sat once just because of options. But I think if you wanted to roll him this week, it's a little risky, but I don't think it's the worst idea either. And I think that also helped him get a boost in the OCs. It's a two-start.
Yeah, the two-start helped for sure. But I was still surprised how, I'll say, cheap he went. I expected him to be, people to be more aggressive on him. Like I said, Rodriguez has added more leagues for more money. And that was a bit surprising along the way. So we'll see where that goes. This is one that's great because I won't mention names, but someone didn't even know. Antonio Sensatella pitches for the Colorado Rockies right now. That made me laugh a lot on Sunday afternoon. But Sensatella was a popular addition this week, and it's a combination of this is how bad pitching is, and he's actually pitching well on the surface. I'll give you the time to shoot that down. But Sensatella was picked up in 91 online championships, as high as 111, as low as a buck, average of 22, 111 is crazy. 75th percentile is $32. So just a few went insane with him. Sensatella's picked up in 33 main events, as high as 101, as low as 7, average of 32. He actually fits main event profiles pretty well just to eat innings if you don't have 7 good starters. He has a 1.27 ERA on the season, Ben, 25 Ks to 8 walks and 28 and a third, 3 wins, and most importantly, 3 saves, picked up the latest save for Colorado. So he's been their high leverage arm, which is insane to think about. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the Rockies. But Sensatella, a very popular addition this week, Ben. So what were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, someone I didn't really look to add at all, Sensatella. I did pull up Closer Monkey. He is the assumed closer by their depth chart, which is also why he was added in so many leagues. Yeah, and I remember us talking about Senzatella yesterday and or today, whatever it was, and some luck factors have been in his favor. The BABIP so far is 197, so that should regress back up, especially playing in Coors, who usually inflates BABIPs. Senzatella's left on base has been 83%, which is also kind of high. Usually it's in mid to upper 70s or kind of around 75% plus or minus. The estimators for his ERA are still pretty good. The worst one is really the xFIP. That one is 374. Or 372, I think is what it was. So not horrible, but not the best for a closer in Colorado. The K minus walk is like 16%, which is kind of low. If he was a starter, that'd be good, but it's kind of low for a reliever. And you're not going to get his 1.27 ERA now that you've added him. And the whip is also really good too. It's definitely below one. It is 0.81. He could be a better pitcher than – I'm not going to read off his starter stats because they're so bad the last few years. I think he's like really the worst pitcher in baseball last year, Senzatella. But he's it's a different player now, but I don't think he's not showing like these elite skills where he's going to be you add him now and you kind of have him rest of the year type deal. I think you're probably going to drop him at some point. He's going to get bombed. It's kind of inevitable, I think. So I don't think he went for a lot of money. Where's Senzatella? He went for 22 on average in the OCs, 32 in mains. It's not horrible.
Nah, you can live with that.
Yeah, it's not like he went for 60 plus. So it's not like people waste a lot of fab. Of course, the extremes are always crazy. But this is not my kind of pitcher. So hopefully whoever added him, it works out well for them.
Yeah, full agree with you on that one. It was like I like the idea way down waterfalls. You could use them when you need them here and there, but it was a very cheap ad, not an expensive ad if necessary. Next most added player in the NFBC online championships. We kind of expected this to happen after last week. Some people speculated on Trevor McDonald. He had a tough two-step. Logan Webb still might be back this Wednesday or Thursday. We'll see. But Adrian Houser doesn't deserve to hold Trevor McDonald from a rotation spot. McDonald got picked up in 87 OCs, as high as 75, as low as a dollar, average of 21. He's picked up in 14 main events as he's already widely rostered in the mains. As high as 96, as low as 31, average of $50 for Trevor McDonald, who has now made three starts at the A's, Sacramento, folks, at the Dodgers, against San Diego. He's allowed five runs over 19 innings pitched with 17 Ks and three walks. He's been outstanding, and that's the nicest way I can put it. But still, again, the gig is up for grabs. Like, we don't know if he's going to keep the job. He should, and that's, I think, worth speculating on this week, Ben.
I agree. He was available in a handful of spots for me and McDonald. Actually, he was available in all three mains. He went for a pretty good amount in my leagues. He definitely went for more than I was willing to bid on him, and that's because you mentioned there's not the certainty that he's going to be in the rotation still. But even if I were to get McDonald, I'd be okay as a stash because I can't imagine that Houser is there for much longer. And from what I hear, that Molly's also doing poorly too. I don't have either one on any team, so I don't really know how they're doing. But I hear it's bad, and you would know too as a Giants fan.
Yes, it's not good.
No. And then you mentioned the surface stats for McDonald. I'll quickly mention he popped on my – so when I was looking at free agents in my leagues and kind of tying it back in with underlying numbers for the last 3 weeks – he had a 2.61 Sierra, 2.76 xFIP. xERA is a little high. He's hit a lot of some hard contact at McDonald. It's 3.78, but you can live with that for an xERA. 18% K minus walk. The BABIP and the left on base are a little lucky, but they're not that lucky. So I think that it'll kind of even out eventually. And the swing strike rate is 12.1%. And that's actually saying that his 22% K rate is a little unlucky, perhaps. So McDonald could have not... he may not regress that much if he actually does stay in the rotation. And if you miss out on this week where those other two guys, Houser and Molly, stay in, I think McDonald's is probably on the cusp of getting called back up if they continue to do poorly. So I would be okay if I got him and he doesn't start this week.
Yes, full agree there. I think I wanted him again. Braxton Garrett was my main ad. I'll throw this to you. Zebby and McDonald had priced very similar because I like both the skills. I like McDonald's skills more than Zebby's, but both had, to me, kind of questionable sticking spots at the moment because we still don't know. Like, Zebby should stay when Taj comes back. first splitter with Richardson, but at the same time, McDonald should stay when Webb comes back, get rid of Hauser. I mean, but we just don't know. So I had them kind of priced the same. Which one did you prefer this week, Zebby or Trevor McDonald?
That's a good question, Bubba. I don't know if I added them in the same. Let's see. I can look this stuff up. I had actually the one I pulled up was McDonald $24, Zebby $18.
Okay, so there you go.
A little bit in favor of McDonald.
Yeah, just a little bit. Nothing too crazy here. All right, a few more before we switch over to the main event size, but there's some interesting names. Next was Gavin Sheets coming off a monster week. I was going to kind of let that one go. If there's a lot of righties, Gavin's your dude. He's up to 262 average. Power's awesome. He's streaking at the moment. He does that a lot. Just throwing that out there. Just on the right weeks, he's like a Kenzone, Luke Rayleigh type. Play him then. Try not to play him versus lefties unless you absolutely have to. Next one I want to ask, though, Merrill Kelly picked up an 83 online championships, as high as 77, as low as a dollar, average of 26, 75th percentile of 34. So a couple outliers is where I'm going with there. Picked up in two main events, widely rostered, $83, $68 in those two. Merrill Kelly, after a horrific, just bad start to the season, yeah, he gave up 19 runs in three starts. Like, people dropped him everywhere, rightfully so. Last two starts, though, been 16 innings pitched, two earned runs, three walks, nine Ks. That's at home against the Mets and at Coors Field with nine innings against the Rockies. Now, what I want to ask you is, A, what are your thoughts on this pickup? But, like, when we look at Merrill Kelly, it's Giants this week. It's a nice matchup. And then at Giants, at Seattle next week, which is a nice matchup. I guess, do you believe he's back after these two starts? We got to remember, he missed all of spring and part of the season with a back injury. Maybe he's fixing it. Who knows? But what are your thoughts on people buying back into Merrill Kelly?
A little bit of a sore subject, Bubba. I'll say that. I had Merrill Kelly on the main event that's leading the overall right now. I started him for the second game, which arguably was the worst one of his six. Actually, yeah, it was the worst of his six. And then I dropped him. I think I may have held him for a little bit, and like, he has kept being terrible. So now his two best starts have not been on my team. But I will say, pulling up his underlying numbers from the last 3 weeks. So last 3 weeks for Kelly, and he has these two really good starts in there. He has a 3.8% K minus walk. His Sierra is 5.22. His XFIP is 4.77. His XERA is 5.95. The only thing that's – so the swing strike is okay, 11.5, not that great. Definitely seems like he's been unlucky with the Ks. Getting some chases, and he's getting some misses inside the zone, which is fine. So I don't know. But then I look at his game log. So he just dominated the Mets and the Rockies. He was in Coors, but it has been warm weather there. And he only had three strikeouts either. So he got very lucky. No walks, three Ks, and nine innings of one-run ball in Coors. That shouldn't happen. He's had three walks in every start except for that Coors start. So that's justifying the horrible K-minus walk. I'm really just giving myself therapy right now because of how annoyed I am by the drop. And then now that he's doing well. But the numbers still say that he's not doing well, even in the more recent sample. So I don't know. He is old, but the way pitching is, I think I tried getting him back once I dropped him and once he did well after that one start. But Merrill Kelly, yeah, the velocity is career low, not by much, but it's still career low. His XERA in the year is 7.85. Just a lot of bad. And like I said, the two opponents he just had were pretty bad, but the Giants are appealing. Sorry, Bubba, no offense.
No, that was one of my talking points in my Fab article on Saturday. It's the Giants this week, and the Giants are part of a two-step next week. Like, you can't ask for a whole lot more right now.
It could be a trap, though. If he keeps walking guys and, like, the Ks stay down, he could just skate by on against the bad offenses, and then people think they have something. But I definitely need to see a change in skills before I feel – I feel even worse at that point for dropping him, but feel better if you did add Merrill Kelly. I think he's still kind of risky to roll out there all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, first off, apologies, did not know you dropped him. But
I was just messing, it's okay.
No, I dropped him in like the 12 at least. It was just a tough profile to see changing it, because it wasn't just like he was giving up runs, like he was getting blown up. Like, it wasn't even close. To see, like, to go into Coors for nine innings, I'm like, what are you doing? But if the Giants hit him around, you made the right move. We'll see how that would pans out. couple more here before we flip the main events that stood out. Griffin Jacks, we talked about him plenty last week as he's getting stretched out. Got a great schedule coming up when he's potentially fully stretched out. So people continue to add him. Let's talk Walbert Urania. Let's do it, because people might have heard Ryan and I argue about him on Thursday night, but Ben brought his thoughts into the conversation as well earlier, and that means Walbert Urania, who has a two-step this week of where did I put that? He has a two-step of it's at home versus the A's, at home versus Texas. So on paper, not bad two steps. He was picked up in 72 OCs, as high as 38, as low as a buck, average of 9. Picked up in 10 main events, high of 39, low of 18, average of 27. He's had his ups. He's had his downs. It's been 2 earned runs or less in 4 out of 5 starts. He's allowed 4 runs in another start. Walks are an issue. 17 walks to 26 Ks, over 27 and a third. I continue to compare him to a younger Jose Soriano. Very similar profiles to me. Boom or bust. Lots of walks. What's your thoughts, Mr. Ben Ted?
All right. So it started out by me saying to be cautious with your bidding on Walbert because the underlying numbers weren't that good. I sent that Saturday or Sunday after listening to the Fab preview that you alluded to between you and Ryan. Then I thought about it a little bit more, and I think, A, the matchups are pretty solid. Mm-hmm. There's nothing out there to add in general. So that makes things difficult. He hasn't been, it's kind of like, I forget who it was, but kind of uninspiring underlying numbers for him the last 3 weeks. Urania's K-minus walk has been 10% in that time. Not good. A walk rate of basically 12%, which isn't good. Swing strikes of 10.4, but the SER and the xFIP are just above 4, which you can live with if that's the case. His xERA is 2.56, which is really good. He's limiting hard contact. His average exit velocity against is 86 miles per hour. And then Urania's zone contact is actually pretty low, 81% across those 3 weeks, which is definitely solid. That's going to help his cause. But then looking just at the game log for him, he had 5 walks against the Royals on April 25th. Then he went down to 3 and then 3 and then 1 against the Guardians. So it's going in the right direction. And even the start before the 5, he had 2 walks in 6 innings versus the Padres, which 8 Ks in that game is fine. So I think he's very volatile right now. And I heavily debated starting Walbert in my main event that's leading the overall. So I was risking a lot by almost starting him. So I got, that's where I got him, but go figure. But I think he had, to your point, I feel like I'm kind of like in the middle of you and Ryan now. I'm like the mediator. Yeah. Because I saw where Ryan was coming from, but then also I see the upside that you like too. Mm-hmm. So I think if you were to start him this week, I don't blame you. I definitely strongly considered it myself once I was setting lineups today on Monday. But and also too, I kind of said like with Grayson, he's on the Angels, so it's going to be hard for Urania to get wins. It's a bad team. But the rotation's just decimated, so I think he could stick for a while. And I think there's a good upside with him, but definitely a lot of downside too. So he's a very, very big wild card right now.
Yep, very big wild card, but we have a lot of those. Like right now, Nick Lodolo's already having fun out there is the way I'll put it. Like it's just
– Oh, no.
We're in the same boat, Ben. I just wanted to bring up an example of like there's a lot like Trevor Rogers. Like there's – so many of these right now that Walbert Urania fits that mix to me. And that's why I was kind of interested there. Roki Sasaki picked up in 71 OCs as he had a great two-step. And with the injury to Blake Snell, sticks in the rotation. And honestly, Ben, I'm interested. Like I picked him up a few places last week for the two-step, expecting to immediately drop him, and I did not. He's picked up in 71 OCs, as high as 119, as low as a dollar, average of 36. And he was picked up in... Let me just finish spelling his name here. Roki Sasaki was already added in all main events, but I guess what I'm going to throw your direction, because 15s were already on Roki, 12s finished being on Roki here. Where were you when it comes down to this improved skill sets? Now it's been, honestly, 4 out of 5 starts, it's been 3 earned runs or less, 3 straight 3 earned runs or less. Like I like to use that because it's the the stupid quality starts mindset, but as bad as pitching is right now, just give me a quality start for most of my guys. Seven innings, one run, no walks, eight Ks against the Angels, five innings, three earned, one walk, five Ks against the Giants. Pitch mix has changed, and he's got a spot in the rotation still. So are you in on what we've seen from Roky Sasaki, or was it just two really good matchups, which it was last week?
It could very well be that for Roky. To your question, I haven't really been in, because after just seeing how bad last year was, and then the debate of him being a reliever versus starter this year, even when he was dropped, I wanted nothing to do with him. But I pulled up the online metrics I've been referring to the last few weeks, and they've been pretty good for Sasaki. A 19% K minus walk, a 12.6% swing strike, a 3.34 Sierra, which is really, really good. XERA is kind of high, 3.94, but it's fine. The XFIP's 3.53, which is good. So really the only thing that's been bad for him last 3 weeks or so is the hard hit, 49% allowed. Exit velocity is 92.6 miles per hour on average. So he has a couple more things to iron out, Roky does. And I know the Dodgers, well, they have Snell on the IL. They have like a rotation's worth of pitchers on the IL. They have.
Yeah, no, he's locked in for now. Now we'll talk. Well, let me make sure. River Ryan was a popular point of conversation. We'll talk about him in the 15 side of things, because he's picked up in half the mains this week. But that's where my conundrum is, because like if you look at the upcoming probables, it goes Yamamoto tonight, then Sheehan, Ohtani, then this week in Robleski, Sasaki, there's Yamamoto. So I don't leave him with the five man. They like a six man. So there's room for River Ryan to jump into this mess and keep it into until Glass now comes back. That's why I'm trying. The River Ryan love confused me. So we'll get to him shortly. But if that's the reason for Sasaki concern, I get it. But like, outside of that, to me, Sasaki's locked in for now.
Yeah, for me, it's more like a skill issue because he's been so bad most of his career. But yeah, he has turned it around lately. And I guess that's why in 15, well, in the main event, you have to just like see any sign of a change. You kind of have to pounce on it. And I wasn't that convicted in him. So I can see the improvements that people are seeing. And then you mentioned kind of as well. But I guess he has that upside you'd want in a 12-teamer too, in theory, even though we haven't seen it. But based on what they said about him in Japan. Yeah, and then the two injuries are Snell and Glass now. Snell may be on the Scooble track. I don't know if that's the case, but he could be out a while, and who knows with Glass now. So, yeah, there's a chance that Roky's spot is safe, especially if they want to stick with a six-man, which probably seems likely. I think this week it works because they only have six games, so they have that day off in the middle of the week to kind of even everyone out still. Yeah. But I guess it's worth a shot. And then what was the pricing on him? He was – where's Roky? Too many names. 36 and OCs, and
he was already all taken in 15.
Yeah, last week was the week. So 36 and an OC, I think it's fine.
All right, I'm going to switch to mains here and talk about some of the big movers and shakers in mains. Ben, we already talked Ewing and Bolthy picked up in all 60, the only ones to get picked up in every league. Third most added player in main events, picked up in 56 main events, was Ha-Sung Kim of the Atlanta Braves, shortstop for the Braves, coming off the IL, picked up in 56 main events, as high as 135, as low as a dollar, average of 37, picked up in 62 OCs, as high as 77, as low as a buck, average of 12. Totally understand the move. Surprised he wasn't picked up in more OCs. Like, I know he struggled out the gate first five games. He's got one hit. It hasn't been great. But this is also a guy that we know when healthy is a power speed machine. You're not going to find a lot of players like this was a middle infield target in a lot of drafts. And so like, maybe that doesn't ring a big ringing endorsement, but this is a guy that to me is better than a lot of fab targets. If you could stash, I guess if you wanted immediate impact, maybe you were wary, but what are your thoughts on the Ha-Sung Kim?
I had some mild interest. I actually posted in the Discord, me adding, potentially adding Ha-Sung Kim, dropping Ha-Sung Kim. And then I posted the Spider-Man GIF along with that, to seeing H. Kim. But it was only for $18, and I think that was well below what he actually – we actually had a min of one in the main event, but the average of 37 was well above what I was willing to pay for Kim. Even the 25th percentile was 21, so I was below that. And it was just the one spot I was looking to add him where I wanted to switch out my middle infielder, because I think there's a little more upside with Kim than the other Kim on the Dodgers. But this I wasn't going to, I didn't want to be too aggressive, and 18 isn't really a lot for someone like him. And it's because I've been on Ha-Seong Kim in the past. You pull up his season stats. He really had the really big 2023 when he had 17 steals or 17 homers, 38 steals, 262. Then 2024, 11 homers, 22, but then 233. Then he was even more injured in 2025, only 5 homers, 6 steals, and then 234. So he's kind of losing the average. He never had really good underlying metrics, Kim. And it's like there's always something with him, whether it's an injury, he's not playing well, he's hitting low in the Braves lineup. They've been bad historically. They're doing better now. They've been on fire finally. So I didn't want to go too crazy with the bids, and I somehow had a good comp to him. I think it was on Waxman's pod. They compared him to a pitcher almost, I think, or something like that. Because someone, it's like they love saying the sheep picks, but it's like a almost like Zebby. I feel like is Kim the hitter version of? He's like the hitter version of Zebby Matthews, Kim, where he has his upside and he hasn't really been able to meet it again in a long time. So that's why I only bid 18 on him. I'm intrigued by what he could provide. I also don't know how likely that we're going to see that 15-30 again.
No, man, that's fair. That's fair. I guess for me, it was the price to pay for him. I didn't care for it. I just thought he'd be more rostered. And I was like, just to take a chance, stash him or whatever. Like, I know you're talking Tovar and stuff. Like, I think I'd take a chance on Kim over what we're getting from Tovar because Tovar's been so freaking bad. Like, there's just a lot of those type of situations as well. If you started Trevor Rogers this week like I did and many others, well, you can turn that one off. My God, he's horrible right now. Next up, I want to talk Yohendrick Pinango of the Toronto Blue Jays. This is one that I've been a fan of for a few weeks for streaming. Got called back up and Addison Pardo went on the IL. Pinango was picked up in 52 main events, as high as 33, as low as $3. Average of 16, very fair prices for an outfield stream. Even better in OCs, as high as 24, as low as $1. Average of 7 in 25 online championships. Pinango, 333 average home run in his 51 plate appearances. Great plate discipline. Hits early in the lineup to get on base and set the table. Like, I was shocked he got sent down the first time Barger came back. Then Barger was on the IL like 3 games later. Pinango comes back. I think this is the guy that you need to have rostered until hopefully Barger doesn't screw it up again. But if he does, then he can get rid of him. But this, I was like another guy that I thought was going to actually go for more in at least 15s, and he did not. So this was a really solid price for what took place there.
Agreed. He was one of the outfielders I had bids for. Isn't the same speed profile of the other guys we mentioned so far, but yeah, you mentioned the good lineup spot. His stat cast is pretty solid. If he did qualify, he'd have some pretty decent percentiles. You see the average is nice. Platooning is fine. You can get around that. This week it's not the best because he's playing the Yankees right now. I think he's sitting tonight because they have – who is they have? They have
Weathers on the mound. So he's sitting. Yep.
Yeah, he's sitting. Then Rodon pitches Thursday. So you're only getting 2 games the start of the week for him. Which is fine. It's something to be mindful of when you go to add this guy, these types of hitters. And it makes more sense in the 15s where it's just a shallower player pool available to you. And yeah, I think it's a solid pick. I was looking for speed more. So that's why I didn't have him too high up in my bid lists.
Yep. No, that's fair. I'll give you that one for sure. But very excited about that hitting potential there from Mr. Yohendrick Pinango of the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, let's get to it. We have a couple questions in the YouTube chat about, I won't do it to you like I do to Ryan, but Mickey Gasper. Mickey Gasper. When I hear Mickey, I want to sing, but I won't do it on this show because I should be saved for Mickey Moniak. Unless Gasper makes me do it, if he gets it done. But he was added in 51 main events, as high as 42, as low as a dollar, average of $8. Mickey Gasper is added in 50 OCs, as high as 61, as low as a dollar, average of 6. Very fair. Catcher 2 prices. Mickey Gasper's hitting 320 in his quick short season with the Red Sox. No homers, no steals, but he's producing. Carlos Narvaez left with a finger injury on Sunday. Mickey Gasper actually has to start on Monday. He's been DHing for the Red Sox this past week, so could be a nice run, especially if it's a long-term injury for Vasquez, because Connor Wong is, let's be fair, not really the dude to play full-time. So Mickey Gasper, what are your thoughts on this one?
To be honest, Bubba, I have zero thoughts because this is someone that I had no idea was a thing to be added. And I'm looking up, I see 51 ads. I go, wow, that's a lot. And then I look.
Yeah, I wasn't on him either.
He had 230. He hit, what did he hit? He hit 238 last week. 5 homers, 21 at bats. Yeah. So I pulled up the Red Sox depth chart and he was DHing except for Saturday. He's even DHing tonight with Narvaez not playing. So I don't know. This seems – well, he went for an average of – is he on here? Where's Gasper? He went for – oh, $8 on average. So, yeah, it was very, very cheap at least, so that's good. But, yeah, I wouldn't – I don't think I would have wasted my fab on him if I even knew that he was a thing.
Yeah, I guess a catcher too, though. Like, do you take the chance on – in a 15, like Logan O'Hoppy's not really around. Kind of, like, you have such limited options in a 15 and 12s. It's more of a conversation, I think.
Well, Gasper – He's a 30-year-old catcher, and he has 133 plate appearances in his major league career going into this year. So,
I don't know. Full agree. Not disagreeing at all with you. I was very surprised to see the love, but I churn and burn at the catcher too, I guess, is where that one's going to take place.
I'd rather just keep Jesus Rodriguez and see what happens, honestly.
There you go. Yeah, because that's – I think people just got burned by – like Eric Haas is catching for the Giants tonight, not Susek or Rodriguez. Like –
what just are they doing? Many,
just for men needs to get thrown into the sun for that one. Like I was starting to turn my thoughts on Just for Men for a second there, but that's not going to work in my world.
Well, that's not GM though. Too. The GM should send down or get rid of Haas.
Yeah, Haas should. When they kept Haas up when Ramos went on the IL, they said because he can catch and play the outfield. I'm like, he shouldn't be doing either. But like,
let's I not could even catch and play the outfield, but not well.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, "What are we doing here?" Teach Casey Schmidt to play the outfield. That's the end of the story. Him or Eldridge, put one of them out there. Figure it out. Like that's your options, not Eric freaking Haas. But don't get me sidetracked on this one. All right, next up here, Spencer Miles. I was very excited to see this happen. He was low on all my bid lists, so I did not get him. But I totally see where this is going. 36 ads in the main event, as high as 17, as low as 2, average of $6. He was added in 5 OCs, average of 2, high of 6, low of 1. Spencer Miles, it's been a quick run here at the big league level, primarily out of the bullpen. He made one spot start, but last two outings have gotten at least 3 innings, 23 cases, 7 walks over 24 and 2/3. He's supposed to be an opener on Thursday against the Yankees, so maybe you don't use them then, but if he continues to get stretched out, he gets a potential Miami Marlins, Baltimore Orioles two-step because he's holding Scherzer's spot, which I don't even think Scherzer's alive at the moment. So there's a world where Spencer Miles sticks for a bit. And as much as I love Patrick Corbin, if Spencer Miles pitch as well, Patrick Corbin can go see the other side of it too. So there's room for this to be a good pick now because, like, if he pitches well against the Yankees, this could cost a lot. I brought him up on the Fab show last week as a potential guy to keep an eye on. Didn't get any shares. Curious with the Yankees outing. I wouldn't have probably started him anyways, but someone to keep an eye on at least. I don't know if you have any other thoughts on Spencer Miles.
No, I missed you mentioning him in the Fab preview.
It was quickly as one of those where Ryan said, who?
That's kind of how I felt too, like the last few guys. So, Ryan, you're not alone.
I don't blame him because I don't think I knew about who he was until I saw him on the projected starters grid and started going. Yes.
Yeah. Decent numbers, though, like the xERA, the FIP, the xFIP are all pretty good year-to-date for Spencer Miles. Yeah. 9.4% swing strike isn't very good, though. Not missing bats. But this is what it's like in a 15-teamer. You're literally scraping the bottom of the barrel for anything. So, I don't know. I probably would have – well, I see the appeal, I guess, but who knows how good he'll actually be. I don't know. It's tough. He's barely pitched – period. He had
it's all he hurt. Oh yeah, he was hurt. He's coming off Tommy John.
Yeah, he barely pitched as a 21-year-old in 2022.
Yep.
Didn't pitch in 2023. Only threw 7 innings in 2024 and didn't pitch at all last year either. So very, very interesting player. Maybe I don't think he's overseas because they would have shown that too. So I don't know. Maybe he had 2 big injuries.
Very possibly. So yeah, someone to keep an eye on though. See where it pans out. If the Jays could use another pitcher. I got 2 more I want to discuss. First, I kind of hinted River Ryan. He was picked up in 31 main events, as high as 77, as low as a dollar, average of 38. Wasn't available, I believe. Oh, no, Yeah, he was not available. It picked up in 12 OCs, 31 high, 5 low, 20 average for River Ryan. Like I said, we said earlier, people are speculating that he's going to come up and get a rotation spot. We'll see. Made a rehab start recently, and he went 4 innings with allowing 1 run. He's got 14 Ks to 3 walks over 11 innings at AAA, but he missed a whole month because of an injury again. Like, I don't see it. Did you see any interest in River Ryan at this point in time?
So I do know River Ryan. So this is something that I do know. But I don't get why people love him so much.
I agree. Full agree.
Yeah, like he barely pitched in the majors.
He's been hurt a lot.
Yeah, he has decent K numbers. He has pretty good K numbers in the minors, but I don't know. He's not even available in 2 of my mains yet. I get the... We already discussed how he could make the rotation for the Dodgers, but I still don't know how good he really is. So I would have worried about other players instead.
Agreed. The other guy I want to mention that might be a pickup in the coming weeks is Kaiwei Tang of the Houston Astros. I got to mention him because I wish the Giants still had him. I loved him last year for Fab, liked him in DCs this year. At least it's panning out finally in DCs this year. But Tang was added in 30 main events, as high as 55, as low as $2, average of 14. The average is fine. The high of 55 is a little bonkers. Kaiwei Tang was picked up in 15 online championships, as high as 20, as low as 1, average of 12 as well. Tang's made three starts now, two straight, went 5 innings, no runs, 4 walks, 7 Ks against the Rangers, Ben. And the last thing I'll say about Kaiwei Tang before giving it to you is he gets at Wrigley this week. It's always dicey. And then you got Milwaukee next week. They're trying to keep that 6-man going. So matchup dependent, but I want to at least give a shout to Tang.
Yeah, you should. He was your boy last year and he's a show favorite already. It was good seeing him go 5 innings. You mentioned that Rangers start because that was an issue. Well, we both had with him last year when we were doing like the late season Fab reviews, and looking at the streamer segments we would start out with, and he was always an option we liked, but he could never get over 4 innings, and now he went over 5 just one time though, and good results. The walks were an issue in that start. He had 4 walks in 5 innings, but for the most part on the year as a reliever, he hasn't really had an issue with walks. Like 1 every 3 innings isn't going to kill you. So if you can keep the walks in check, and that will help Tang go deeper into the starts. And another injury riddled rotation is the Astros. Brown's not back anytime soon. At least they're rolling with a 6-man. They have the rotation hurt too. So yeah, I think he's safe for now as long as they want to keep throwing him out there. So I think it's a fine stab to take. I'd rather take a shot on Tang than River Ryan and the other guys we just mentioned.
I fully agree. And I'm sorry I fibbed. There's one more player I want to discuss. He just didn't stand out because he wasn't added that much because he wasn't available that much. But he'll be a big talking point on next week's show, Ben. Colt Emerson was called up on Sunday, made his major league debut playing third base for the Mariners. Brendan Donovan's going to be out at least 3 weeks, it looks like, maybe longer, because he got a shot in his groin and his oblique. It's a lot going on there. For Donovan, Colt Emerson was added in 11 main events where he was available, as high as 238, as low as 42, average of 131. He was added in 9 online championships, as high as 363, as low as 12, average of 87. So a lot of spending all over the board. In the OCs, the 75th percentile was 86, so that was kind of more lopsided, where main events was kind of spread out for the most part. Any early thoughts on Emerson? Is again, obviously depends on how his week goes, but he'll be probably the most added player next week, barring another crazy set of call-ups.
Probably. It seems like Donovan will be out for a while. And then Crawford got banged up as well. I think he might be okay. But yeah, it seems like Emerson will have at least a month of playing time given to him. In the minors last year, 16 homers, 14 steals, 285 average. Nothing crazy, but I don't always understand how these prospects get rated when some guys have better stats than others, and then the rankings are different. So I don't know, some people really like Colt Emerson. He looks like he's fine. Doesn't look like anything crazy to me based on his minor league stats. So I doubt I will be getting him in the two leagues where he's available now for me, but have to wait and see how he does this week. I, like you said, it's a wait and see, and it should affect his pricing for upcoming Sunday.
All right. Before we do our ads of the week, I just want to talk about some of the crazy spending. Somehow Tarek Skubal was not on the can't cut list. Maybe it's because he got hurt and they let him off the hook and now he's going to be back soon. So whatever. He was picked up in three OCs, as high as 567, as low as 401, average of 467. So that's one to make you laugh. We joked last week that Jesus Luzardo was dropped in one league. He is re-added this week for $409. So that was a heavy spend as well. Hunter Brown was dropped in one league. He's supposed to be back hopefully by mid-June. So it's like a month, maybe month and a half away from Hunter Brown. He was added for $348 in that one league, which, yeah, if he's back, it's great, but that's a long ways to have a potential setback. So see where that one goes. Some people got on the Angel Martinez wagon, got picked up in 38 leagues, as high as 283. I love Angel, but that is a lot of money. This one's good, Ben. Matt McClain was picked up in two OCs, as high of 255, so that was one bid. The other bid was $28. So talk about someone went crazy for him. That's interesting. Other than that, like Ranger Suarez was picked up in two leagues at 132 and 223. Bregman was picked up for 217 in one league. Glasnow for 199. Emmett Sheehan for 189. I know I just ripped off a lot of names there, but any thoughts, Ben? Is that's just it, OCs are wild that these players are even available.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see some of these names dropped in the main event and see what they go for.
I was thinking, like, that's why I was scrolling. I'm like, yeah, these are boring. Let's go to the OC side. Like, Angel was picked up in three mains, as high as 136, as low as 95, but still not quite the same. Robleski picked up for 127. Thoughts on that in the main?
He's very smoke and mirrors right now. He was who I was debating. Well, you know this, but for the listeners, I was debating Walbert Urania versus Justin Robleski in that one main event. He's kind of getting the K's back at least now. Robleski, he had like 6 and 7 his last, I didn't mean to say it like that, his last two starts. But so he's getting, the underlying numbers are kind of improving as he hasn't been as like pure. So it makes sense. Also, he's on the Dodgers and they're all hurt. So I think I would have gone relatively. So the problem is I got Robleski for like $20 when I added him. So it's hard to justify paying that much money when you know that the skills haven't been there the entire year, even though they're kind of improving. So that's a tricky one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. But any other thoughts on these ad drops? Are you ready to recap what we did for the week?
I'll say the last big name in the main that I was looking to add outfield wise was Johnny DeLuca.
Good call.
Yeah, he's like the poorest man's version of Ewing, Bolte, Austin Martin. He's playing now because Jake Fraley went on the IL. So if you're in an OC and you missed out on those other guys, Johnny DeLuca could be your speedy outfielder replacement.
I like that. That's a guy that I did have in my waterfalls as well. I've always been a huge DeLuca fan. He wasn't getting the playing time, but with the injury to Fraley, he's getting every day at bats. Even got a big double today. He would have played against the lefty, but playing very well. He's picked up in 19 main events, as high as 26, as low as a dollar, average of 13. Picked up in 15 OCs. That'll be a popular OC pickup next week, is Johnny DeLuca. If he gets that playing time like he should get this week, he'll be a very popular OC pickup this week. All right, Ben, let's talk about it. Who were your ad drops for the week?
Okay. So I'll start with the Listener League, as always. I'm running out of money to begin with, and then I didn't get any of the big guys. This one, my ads were Penango, dropped Dominic Canzone 8-0, and then I got Marcelo Meyer, dropped Graham Ashcraft 8-6. So I was due for a cheap week of spending in that league. And then the New Jersey main event, this is where I first got Braxton Garrett. I dropped Ty Madden, which that was an unfortunate speculative ad because he only pitched, he got one out, I think, and then got hit in the elbow. 64 to 48 on Braxton, so I was happy with that. I got a stash of Emilio Pagan, dropped Graham Ashcraft 14-0. Ashcraft wasn't he was my RP3, so I was specking on Pagan. I think he could be back, and based on how bad the Reds bullpen is, we talked about this last week too, I think Pagan gets the job back when he gets back. So figured a cheap stash there. That's 14-0. And then at least one of your favorites, and I was interested too, and I still got him, was Gage Workman. Dropped Josh Bell 8-0.
Tater.
Tater Gage. He slowed down, but has good underlying or good minor league skills. The Ks have been an issue, but we'll see what happens. I could have got him for a buck, but it's all right. And then in the hybrid main two, this is my first share of Bolte. I got Henry Bolte, dropped Zach McKinstry. This is a little upsetting. So I didn't even think I was going to be competitive to get him. I got him 134-32. So I way overbid. I don't know why people weren't interested in him.
Real quick, it was just crazy that across the board, we talked about earlier, that the Bolte number was so much lower than Ewing's. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, if it was like 134-80, that's understandable. But 32 is really low for a guy with his skills and in Sacramento. It's just bizarre. I could have used $100, but I'll take Bolte, hopefully. And then, this is where, like I said, I got Walbert Urania here, dropped Ty Madden 18-15. So that was a pretty efficient bid. I was also looking at the sheet earlier. I had the main event min on Urania, so go figure, for this week at least. And then in the third and final main, I got Bolte here again, dropped Dominic Canzone. But this one was 174-148. So 32 backup versus 148. It's kind of – that's OC-ish. It's kind of wild. Yeah. And then I got Braxton Garrett again, dropped Nick Martinez, 64-57. And then that was it. So a couple of big spends in that main event. And this one, so I spent a lot more on Bolte here. I was telling you this, but for listeners, I needed steals. I have like 32 steals or so, and that's near the bottom of the standings. So needed the Bolte steals.
Nice. I get it. Is that everybody? Is that everything?
Yep. That was all four Beautiful. Leagues.
Beautiful. All right. My Vegas listener 12-team league, Sunday league, picked up Henry Bolte. Dropped Lawrence Butler. God, that felt good. 122, runner-up of 65, which, yeah, whatever. Ewing went for 169, so and I was the runner-up there at 122. I was getting one of the two, which is the way I was going about that. That was my only ad for the week in that league. It was a very light week for me, honestly, outside of where I spent up on the Bolties. Like, price-wise, maybe not, but total ads, light. My Vegas auction got Bolte. Dropped TJ Friedel, which also felt great, 67-57. So that was good. That was pretty fair. It was interesting. AJ Ewing went for 118 in the Vegas auction. Runner up was 118. So
wow,
that's always interesting as well. But that was my only ad in that league. My OLAC, I picked up Zach Cole, dropped Marcelo Meyer, 16-12. Bolte. Now, this is funny. Bolte went for 146 in this league, Ewing went for 88. And I was the runner-up at 88 on that one. So flipped it in that league. I think maybe the only league I saw that in. But I got Zach Cole. That was my only add in that league. And they have a lot. They have 5 righties in 6 games this week. And I know the swing and miss is crazy, but 3 home runs, like the dude, he's going to play. In the Bubba and the Loom listener auction, grabbed Bolte, dropped Garrett Mitchell, 88-60. When I was going through my teams last week, it amazed me on just how bad Garrett Mitchell has been after that hot start, folks. So if you're still starting him without looking, that's Gene Segura stuff. Pay attention to that one. And then a couple small bids. Got Brian Abreu, dropped Patrick Corbin, 13-0. Abreu's actually looking like the old Abreu right now. He's kind of splitting saves or getting high leverage there in Houston. And Josh Hader still needs 5 more rehab appearances, they're saying. So we'll see how that goes. And then I picked up the Dominator. Dom Smith dropped Oswald Peraza, who I love, but they just don't play him. 7-0 in that one. Dom Smith's got a lot of righties coming up, and as long as Sean Murphy's on the IL, Dom Smith should start at DH in that format. And then in my Beat Bubba OC, picked up Braxton Garrett, dropped Dennis Santana, 34-21. Might regret that. We'll see. And I picked up Arenado, dropped Marcelo Meyer, 9-7. I like Meyer. I wanted some power at third base that Meyer will not give me at all. So, overall, short week, quiet week for me, as I didn't have as many drops as I usually do. Just a lot. My waterfalls were long, very long. Just not a lot of drops to be made. All right, Ben. Any final thoughts as we wrap up the episode? No listener questions. People got quiet today, which is nice. We got some heckling in the chat from our boys. Like, good heckling, not bad. But I'll throw this one out there. John Wilder said, two famous podcasters right there. Unfortunately, Ben will drop in the main event overall due to wearing sleeves on today's podcast. Big mistake by a veteran player. Any final thoughts as we wrap things up?
We left out the one where he wishes I could engineer a 10th start in outfield for Yordan Alvarez. I'm about to tweet about that because it's been the biggest tease of all time. It's been like 3 weeks. He's been at 9 games. It's been horrible.
Yeah, I saw a good friend of the show, Sammy Reed, is also on your – because he keeps posting about it, and he quote tweeted a post of his from like 2 or 3 weeks ago that he's still stuck on 9 games. Like he's just it's never going to happen. It feels like it has to, right? It has to, but we'll see.
Yeah, we have over 4 months to go. I think he's going to get one, but watch, it'll be like September 25th.
The problem is we wanted 20 so he could start next year in the draft with outfield.
Baby steps, Bubba. We need one thing at a time here.
I know.
We need like
20
one more
might not actually happen. I'm not confident in 20. 10, I'm confident in 20. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. I think that much more likely or 20 is Ivan Herrera's at catcher because I think
which would be amazing if that happened.
I'd be happy with that too. But yeah, last thing about tonight though, I have to slow down my spending now. Those two Bolte bids were like the big ones I had left in those two mains. So I have dollar days coming up soon. I'm not that extreme, but like I have to slow down.
Yeah, it happens. It's all good. Like I'm happy for the most part. I'm still sitting in like the like 500-ish range, I guess, in my dollar values. That's like good. 500 to 600 bucks. So I'm still able to do things if I need to, and that makes me feel comfortable. I might regret not getting some big guys at some point, but so far, so good. We'll see how things continue to play out. And we'll keep you guys updated each and every week with your Fab recaps. Back with you guys early next week with the Week 10 recap. But until next time, make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I am @BDEntric. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 854. Catch you all next time.